Hey everyone, my name is Mitchell, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way for you to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
How's everybody doing tonight? Good? Full? Thankful. I love it. Sorry, I'm getting old. I'm only 44, but man, my hearing's going. They say that's the first thing to go, I guess. I don't know. I'm finding out right now. Exactly, right? Man, I'm so glad to be here tonight. For those of you that don't know me, my name is John Carter. I am a location pastor at our furthest northern location in Flushing, Michigan. And so I have been a part of the River, man, for a long time. Before pastoring, I've just been, even as a member, before I was even working or a pastor, I've been a part of the River Church in Goodrich. I want to say I was there for about 9 to 10 years. So I know of Tuesday nights. I have been a part of Tuesday nights for my own self. And so I love coming here on Tuesday nights. It is one of my highlights to get to do in my week. So I am so grateful that you have me here tonight to be able to share God's word with you and kind of bring the series you guys have been walking through to a close. Okay, we've been in Psalms 51. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open to Psalms 51. We're going to hit the last two verses. And if this is your first night here and you're not familiar with what we've walked through, I'm just going to do a quick recap of what Psalms 51 is before we hit the conclusion, right? Psalms 51, for those of you that have been here, you know it is probably one of the most raw passages in Scripture where David doesn't hide anything and he lays his heart out there of what's going on in his own life. And of course, if you're familiar with the story of David, you know, not only was he a great king that led Israel, but he was also a man that was flawed. Anybody relate? I know I do, right? So we see this element of what David walks through as a flawed man, where he comes before the Lord and walks through repentance, right? He walks through repentance, and we get to see what that looks like in real life, in the life of David. See, David walks through, if you've done this, you've seen it in the couple of weeks that you've been in this passage, he walks through confession. You know, what does that look like? To repent, to confess to the Lord your failures, your shortcomings, your sin. He walks through just what it looks like to be honest, right? To be genuine and authentic. He walks through cleansing. And I love the title that's up there, Renew. He walks through renewal and what that actually means and what that actually looks like. And of course, he's going to hit things like surrender, right? And walking through what surrender. You guys have hit these things as you walk through Psalms 51. I love that in this text, in this passage, as I was refreshing my memory with it, David, he didn't hide his sin. You don't see any hiding of his sin. He doesn't minimize it, nor does he excuse it. He brought it, I love this, he brought it fully into the light. The king of Israel. Not only did he bring it, I was just talking to Justin earlier, not only did he bring it into the light, but he made a song about it so it wouldn't be forgotten. How crazy is that? I don't know that I would do that. I'm sure Justin has talked about it. I don't know that anybody would do that. I'm going to let people sing about my failures. That's what a psalm is, right? It's a song that you would sing. Let's sing about my failures. Most of us are hiding these things. Not David. But what's really interesting is you walk through the Psalms, David doesn't end his psalm focused on himself and his failures. This is the wonderful part of this text. As last week, Justin walked through this beginning element of what David is going to conclude with and where we really end with. David doesn't just bring it all about himself. No, what he begins to do is he starts to look outward. He starts to look at what happens when his sin is renewed and what is the effect of a renewed life, not just in his own world, in his own life, but what happens outwardly. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. You see, and I want you to hear this, repentance, renewal, is not just about getting clean. Some of you are like, well, wait a minute. I thought I was in recovery group. Isn't that what it's all about? I want you to hear me when I say this. Repentance is not just about getting clean. It's about getting restored for a purpose. It's not just about getting clean. It's about getting restored for a purpose. If you look at the closing verses, we'll read through it. Psalms 18 or 51, 18 says this. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem, then will you delight in right sacrifice, in burnt offerings, and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Now, a lot of you read just those texts and you're going to be super confused, right? You're like, what is happening in this text? What is David even talking about? My goal tonight is to help you understand this text in a real way that you can take it home with you and understand what David is saying in these texts. So let's just pray and ask the Spirit to lead me, to guide me. I know Phil prayed for us earlier, but I personally need the Spirit to lead me, okay, and to guide me. Ever feel tired sometimes? Me too. So I need the Spirit tonight, okay? So let's ask the Spirit to be here with me. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we know you love us. We know this because of what your son Jesus did. Lord, I ask tonight as I open the word and walk through what I have prepared, Lord, that if there is someone here tonight that doesn't understand who Jesus is, that, Lord, through this passage and through this Psalms, we would be able to clearly see the love that you have for them and for us. Lord, I know there are people here in this room watching online who are hurting. Quite frankly, Lord, they may feel very hopeless. And Lord, I pray that that hopelessness would not go unanswered with your word. That you would shine brightly in that hopeless, dark place. That your light would shine so brightly that they would see it, latch onto it, and cling to it. I ask this in Jesus' name. Holy name, amen. All right, so listen, we're going to walk through this phrase by phrase. I'm going to try to get through this quickly. There's a lot in this. But I want to help you understand, I said this a little earlier, maybe in a little different phrase, God cares about more than just your or my sobriety. I want you to do me a favor, say that out loud with me. God cares about more than just my sobriety. You're like, wait a minute. God cares about more than just my sobriety. See, David goes to do good in Zion in your good pleasure. One of the things that as you have walked through this text, you're going to see this, David realizes his sin didn't just affect him. David realizes this. It affected the people around him. We understand this. I'm just going to real quickly reference some verses in the Psalms. Verse 1, have mercy on me. Right? David starts with the me in this text as we walk through the Psalms, but he ends with the we. Personal repentance, have mercy on me. Personal honesty. Verse 3, I know my transgression. personal cleansing. Wash me, verse 2. Cleanse me, verse 7. Personal renewal. Create in me a clean heart. That's verse 10. Now David starts to speak on what it looks like when you walk through renewal in a communal aspect. Do good to Zion. That's where we were at. See, Zion is really shorthand for God's people, God's place. Zion is God's community. So David, as he comes to the end of this passage, he is praying for people that belong to God outwardly. In a way, you could say this, David saying something like this, Lord, don't let my failure damage your people. Lord, bring good to them despite my failure. That's really powerful. You see, we see this in Scripture. Repentance may start privately on the personal. This is what David walks us through. But here's the reality. It never stays private. It doesn't stay private. You know, this is something really fascinating. Sin works almost in the exact same way, just in opposite directions. See, sin starts oftentimes very private. And as we keep walking in sin, what happens? We know this. It doesn't stay private for very long, does it? And what does it lead to? What's that path that it leads to? We know this. Leads to destruction, chaos. Ultimately, the scripture says it leads to death. So if this is very similar, and repentance and renewal is like sin, but it's going in the opposite direction, what we understand is, yeah, repentance starts personally, right? We see this in the example of David. But that same road that we walked in sin that created destruction, it created chaos, and it created death, with repentance and renewal, it starts to create a different path, one where there is healing. I mean, David talks about it, cleansing. And ultimately, we know this, that it leads to, when that renewal and restoration happens with our relationship with God through Jesus, that leads to life. So this is this crossroad that we see happening here, and David's walked us through this, and we understand this element, and I want to relate it to some of the things you and I probably struggle with. Addiction and sin may start isolated, but the damage never stays isolated, does it? The cost of sin shows up in our marriages. The cost of sin shows up in our kids, maybe the way we handle money, maybe the way we have engaged in relationships through trust. People around us live inside the ripple effect of our choices. I love that David doesn't just focus on himself in this passage. He's not just looking at the problems he has in his own life. There are some of you in here, you're hearing this and you're walking through this, and maybe you even believe the lie that addiction has told you. That addiction is this. It tells you that you're only hurting yourself. Now, that's true. You are definitely hurting yourself in your addiction. But the lie is when you think, this is only hurting me. David understands this in his own world that he is operating in. The truth is this. Addiction, sin, it always affects more than we ever want it to. And David's acknowledged this, right? He acknowledges that this sin was never a private sin. Go back to verse 4, 51 verse 4. He says this, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. So right there alone, we see David acknowledging it didn't just hurt him. He's saying it hurt God. Now, I just want to put a little caveat in this. David is not saying there was no collateral damage. Uriah lost his life. Bathsheba had to walk through shame to some degree. David's children paid a price. Right? So David's not sitting here and acknowledging that collateral. No, he's saying, listen, I can't sit here in my sin and say it only hurts me. At the bare minimum, he's saying, God, I know I have sinned against you. What David is acknowledging is, hey, if we're going to walk through renewal, our renewal has to start with God. He said that earlier. And as we walk through that renewal process, eventually this is going to bleed out to, the same way sin affects more than just me, renewal is going to bleed out to affecting those around you. Those that maybe you've hurt. As we walk through this text, we see, first and foremost, that sin has a problem, first of all, with God. And that needs to be fixed. We see this, and as we can just affirm this through the text, verse 3, my sin is ever before me. I love that David stops pretending. He understands that if he's going to walk through renewal, through recovery, through restoration, it begins when he stops pretending. My sin is ever before me. Verse 6. You delight in truth in the inward being. We've acknowledged this. We've walked through this for several weeks now. God wants honesty. He doesn't want you to fix your image. He's not looking for image management. He wants complete honesty. And when I talk about image management, I just want to help you understand this. This isn't just for Tuesday night. This is for anybody that goes to church. This is for pastors. This is for everybody. We all put on a front. Listen, watch Facebook. Everybody's got everything going on great. We put on an image. God doesn't want you to put your image up. He wants you to be honest with where you're at and the struggles you're going through and the hurts you're feeling and the pain you're feeling. He doesn't say you have to be perfect. He doesn't say you have to put this image on right. No, he says be honest. God delights in truth in the inward being. It starts, yes, it starts with us privately and personally. But then look at what he says in verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. Right? When renewal happens internally, what does David say is going to happen? Hey, listen, this is going to bleed out to others. This is going to bleed out and carry out to other people. I love that David recognizes that God isn't after surface level behavioral change. Honestly, that can't be why you're here tonight. If you just came here to check a box, to do something that just suffices something, some box you check, surface level, hey, I'm just going to walk through these motions, that can't be your core reason to be here tonight. You can't be here just to try to get through something, only to go back to where you came from or what got you in trouble. See, God's after the truth on the inside, the reality we can't hide from when we truly examine ourselves before God. How many of you think you can lie to God? You can't. He knows every single thing that you have failed at and everything you have succeeded at. Right? I love this. This is important to grasp as we're walking through what David is saying in this text. You don't have to turn there, but in Corinthians, Paul kind of alludes to this understanding of what David is kind of just hinting at so far. 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. right? This is this acknowledgement of what happens. And I know I'm belaboring the point a little bit, but I want you to understand what David's doing here, because when we get to the conclusion of what David's doing, wow, it's incredible. Wow, it's awesome. You see, recovery is not just about your personal freedom from an addiction. It's really relational repair. It's about fixing relationships. First and foremost, that relationship that was broken with God. But it doesn't just stop there. It goes beyond that. Look at what David continues to say in verse 51:18, the latter part of it. He says, build up the walls of Jerusalem. You know, in the scripture, walls often represent protection, stability, safety. This isn't just randomly in there by David. He's not trying to rhyme words. This is in here for a very specific reason. As we look at what walls represent in scripture or even in the ancient days, right? It talked about boundaries, its order, its ability to function without fear. That's what walls represented. And I want you to see this. Without walls, a city was exposed. A city was unstable. A city was constantly under threat. Because the walls weren't up. They were terrified, constantly being attacked or the enemy coming and always having to look over and who's going to come after them next. You want to read a story about that in the scripture? Read through the book of Nehemiah. So when we talk about this, what David is acknowledging and what he's understanding and what he's pointing us to in this, as we've covered these passages where sin's before me, he recognizes his sin. He knows that he's broken on the inside, but he also is acknowledging that he needs God to help him build the walls up. David was the king of a city, of a nation. David understands, man, my sin didn't just affect me. My family, the position he held affected the whole nation. So David is recognizing and understanding, listen, God, I need you to not just fix me, but help me restore, help you. Actually, it's not even anything David does, it's everything God does. God, please restore the walls of the city. You know, in addiction, in sin, we know this. We understand this. If you've walked in it in any length, maybe you don't understand this. I pray you do. Addiction erodes boundaries very slowly, doesn't it? We start doing things we thought we would never do. We start going to places we thought, man, I'll never go there. Never. We start to lose self-control, right? It weakens. Our decision-making process, it becomes compromised. We start doing things we know we shouldn't do. We do it anyways. What is it actually showing us? Many of you need to hear this. Our addiction exposes us to danger all the time. Not just me. It exposes us. It reveals, like, you know, oftentimes, and I know this, right? Like, we think our addiction is where we are safe. We think our addiction is what is going to allow us to feel safe. And what we understand as we're walking through this is we see that our sin actually is the lie. We're not safe. We're exposed. We're in trouble. We need help. We are vulnerable. I love what the book of Proverbs says as it's talking about in relation to this in 25:28. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. See, sin exposes you. Addiction exposes you. And I love that David doesn't say this in this text. He doesn't say, Lord, give me stronger willpower. Nope. He doesn't say, help me try harder, Lord. What does he say? Build up the walls. Build up the walls. See, David, if you go through this process he's walking through, first he acknowledged there was something broken inside of himself. And then as he's walking through renewal, he goes to and he recognizes, he's like, listen, Lord, I need you to build up the walls. Protect me, keep me safe. As we look at this, we see this even earlier in the text, verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. We see that God's the one that does the cleaning. Psalms 51:12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit. See, God's going to sustain what he is renewing, what he's rebuilding, what he is bringing back to life. It's all in God's hands. I love this. As David is walking through this, you see it so clearly. You might see this in texts like Isaiah 60:18. You don't have to turn there. You shall call your walls salvation, and your gate praise. God doesn't just build up the same vulnerable walls. Hear me. When God rebuilds this, when God rebuilds it, he builds new ones, better ones. We call that the Holy Spirit. That's the power we rest in as children of God, those who have claimed Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. It's a better wall. It's a more powerful wall. This isn't rooted in our self-reliance. It's rooted in the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, I want to say this because I think sometimes in our culture, we tend to think walls equal isolation, right? I know many of you have walls. I have walls, right? We do this. We build our walls because we think if we're isolated and I don't let anybody in, then nobody's going to hurt me. That's not what we're talking about. When we're talking about walls here, we're talking about the boundaries, the guardrails that God sets up to protect us and not walk in danger. Not to, I don't want anybody in my world. At your tables, you have to open up and be vulnerable. Right? You do. It's not letting nobody in. It's making sure the walls that God builds up, the boundaries, the protective measures that God gives us are there in our life to keep us from harming and hurting ourselves, from walking in the threat. And I love this. As you walk into 51 verse 19, he says, then. If you have your Bible, circle that word then. It's really important. Then, he says, you, that's God, will delight in right sacrifice. Now, earlier, last week, as Pastor Justin walked through this text, we see that David understands God does not delight in just empty religious acts. You can look at verses 16 and 17. Now he's saying the right sacrifice, the one that God is pleased with, comes after the heart change. Do you see that? Do you recognize that? You see, David understands something has to happen in our hearts, in our lives. Start walking in what pleases God. If you're sitting here, you're just like, hey man, I'm going to church. I have a Bible. Go back to that. I'm putting on the right image. Everybody can see how I'm at. Again, this isn't just for Tuesday. This is for everybody. This is for people that show up to church on Sunday. This is for pastors that might put on a front that's not real. We can pretend. I love this as David This is kind of what David is saying in the passages earlier when he says, "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it." Listen, if all it took was pretending, we'd be all right, wouldn't we? A whole lot of us would be all right, wouldn't we? If all it took was pretending, wouldn't it be all right? David's saying as he's walking through this, no, no. And you see this in verse 17, and this is really the crux of where he's walking us through. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit. A broken, and this is where it matters, and a contrite heart. God, man, I need you. Not only do I need you to help fix me, not only do I need you for my salvation, for my hope, for my forgiveness, but I also need you as we start to fix and renew the relationships around us. I love that what David is telling us to do is he's telling us to reject performance. Reject the performative part of us. And know that God is looking for authentic and genuine repentance. He doesn't want you to be just going to church to go to church. He wants you to examine the heart. He wants you to check your heart and make sure. Like I love this. I know that what David's walking through here, he doesn't say, God, help me behave better. God doesn't want you to act changed. He wants you to actually be changed. So what changes? What changes? There's only one person that can change the heart. There's only one person that can do that kind of work. Anybody know his name? Do you believe that? What's his name?
Jesus.
Yeah. What did he do? On the cross. What did he do? He paid the price. Right? And we see David acknowledging, listen, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Verse 12. In 51. Restore in me the joy of your salvation. When we walk through authentic and genuine renewal, we end up in a place where we're no longer identified by who we were, broken in this. We are now identified as God's children, wholly renewed, not partially renewed, wholly restored. My identity is no longer the old John that screwed up and made a bunch of mistakes. Does that mean I'm not going to make any more mistakes? No. My identity is rooted on the perfection of Jesus Christ. My identity is rooted in what he has done for me because I could never do it. And we see David coming back to this element of the scripture where he's saying, listen, my purpose that God has in me is not just for me, once I walk through this renewal, once I walk through this change, to just sit and be quiet and not talk about it. It's gonna bleed out. It's gonna change people around you. As you understand the good news of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's going to come out and you're going to talk about it and you're going to share with people that maybe you've hurt. I know Jesus and he's changed me. And that's where, once this relationship has been restored, these relationships start to get restored. And that's what David is walking us through. That's what he's saying here in these texts, in these passages. As we look at this last section here, the bull will be offered on your altar. It's not like David's just obsessed with animal sacrifices all of a sudden. No, he's saying something so much deeper. I belong to worship with him again. See, this is restoration to participation, restoration to purpose, restoration to clear and visible obedience. And man, is that awesome. Because we have a purpose. Maybe some of you are sitting here like, man, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it out of this hole that I'm in. You know who can get you out of that hole? Jesus. And I'm not just saying his name because that's what I'm supposed to say at church. I genuinely know this from the bottom of my heart. You could be in the deepest, darkest place in your life. And the light of Jesus will shine so brightly, and he will come and he will pull you out of that pit. And he will give you, not just pull you out of that pit, he will give you this identity as a child of God with purpose, with joy in worship. Clear, visible obedience in your life. You're like, hey, I'm changed. I'm different. I'm not the way I used to be. And it may take time for trust to be rebuilt, but listen, remember that road, sin eroded trust. As you start walking in renewal, trust starts to get rebuilt. And this is what we see David concluding to and coming to as we walk through all of this. We see that restoration, being renewed, was meant to lead outward. It's always meant to lead outward. As we looked at that passage and we looked at this, we see verse 13, "Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners," look at this, "will return to you." You see, restoration produces a witness. Your purpose is not just to be healed and then to go sit on a log somewhere. Not at all. It's to be restored for a purpose, to share the good news of Jesus Christ to those in your life. And proclaim his wonderful mercies and his wonderful grace and his wonderful forgiveness in your life. That can only happen through Jesus. I love this. I don't think David ever planned to just stay broken. I think he fully trusted God to restore him, not partially, but fully, to be able to worship with purpose, with this joy that comes with salvation. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're struggling. Man, am I always going to be broken? Am I always going to be looked at the person from the outsider, the black sheep? Is that going to be me? Maybe you're wondering, man, can I really spiritually belong? I love that David comes back to this in this text. God restores people back to worship. Not just back to sobriety. Maybe you're here and you've never considered the work of Jesus and what it means in your life. I pray tonight, as you look at these texts, and I know this text is really complex, and I'm just really trying to show you what David's saying. David's saying something so amazing. I want you to see this. This is so beautiful, and I'll end with this. Romans 12:1. See, Paul kind of talks about this and gives us some clear picture of what this looks like. Romans 12:1 says this, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God." This is really what bridges Psalms 51 and all the complex language that's used as sacrifice into today's day. If you've been renewed by Jesus, you're called to be a living sacrifice, a testimony for what Jesus has done in your life. I love as we walk through this passage, God cleanses the heart. He renews our spirit. He rebuilds What was broken? And I love that in these last few verses, we see that God restores our life to a life with worship and purpose. Maybe you're sitting here today and you've just like, man, I don't know what that looks like. I pray you do not leave without knowing the purpose of Jesus Christ in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. I know this text is complex. I know it's difficult. There's a lot of things in here that may not make sense to a lot of people, Lord. But I know your word says very clearly that the blood of Jesus is what cleanses us from all sin. I know that your word says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I love that your word says, Lord, that when we have Christ, we have the confidence to enter into the holy place by the very blood of Jesus. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ lived the life I could never live. He died the death that my sin deserved me to live out. He rose again so that a broken person like me could be forgiven, could be restored, and could be brought back in relationship with God. Not through my effort, not through my promises, Lord, but really, truly through faith in your Son, Jesus. And Lord, I am so very grateful for that promise you have made, not just to me, but for every single person that calls on your name. We love you and we thank you. Be with us the rest of the night. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.